This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contact lenses, prescription, or reorder your contacts from anywhere within minutes. Get $30 off your contact lenses by visiting simplecontacts.com/wow or entering the promo code WOW. And thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/wow or text WOW to 500-500.
When I'm not busy making faces at the humans, I'm listening to The Instance. Alliance Pigs.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is episode 516 of the show. It is March 2nd, 2018. A brand new month and a brand new dad. That's right, Patrick Beja, back from his extended fatherly weird European leave. And he's
Wait, with us again.
Why is it weird? Well, it's not weird. It's I'm jealous because over here we're not as cool about dads taking off forever to take care of their kids, which I'm actually a big proponent of. And when I was you know, the working man, and I had my kids, they I got hardly any time off. In fact, I think I got maybe a day or two, and then, you know, Kim had time off.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. Freaking sucked. It was stupid. So I'm with you. I pledge my allegiance to your socialist ideals.
Be careful now, Scott. You still have to live in the U.S. There might be repercussions.
That's a good point. Anyway, congratulations and welcome back.
Thank you.
I hope it went well. It's funny, you know, ironically, you told me this before the show, and this surprises me, but despite the fact that you've had a brand new baby, drooling baby, that takes a lot of attention. You know, everybody needs to sort of make sure he's safe and well and eating and, you know, warm and all those things. You've still had time to play video games, which is great to hear.
I mean, whenever he sleeps, the problem is he has two modes, either sleeping on one of his parents. He doesn't really sleep anywhere else. Sometimes during the night he does in his bed, but he can't fall asleep during the day if he's not on one of us. Mm-hmm. So that's one mode. And the other mode is screaming like a banshee. So we kind of prefer the first one.
Yeah.
And when he does that, then I have time to play some video games. And thankfully, even though he doesn't sleep as much as regular babies for some reason, he does sleep quite a bit. And babies do sleep quite a bit. So yeah. I managed to play a number of games, including some Overwatch and some World of Warcraft.
Oh.
And there's cool stuff happening there.
Yeah, I heard you cracked open the beta even, or the alpha, I guess it is right now that we're in.
Yeah, I just launched it to realize that it was basically at that point just the BlizzCon build.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've seen this. I was like, old, hashtag old.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's a few, extra things in there. Like there's,
yeah. And they've added a lot of stuff now. So.
Sure. But I'm that way too with my alphas. Get in, go, oh, look, and then get out. I can't, I don't want to blow it. I don't want to see it all. And I don't even want to see some close to release beta so much. I'm a terrible tester is what I'm saying. Blizzard is always so very kind to send me beta or alpha access to games like World of Warcraft. But those are the games I least want to spoil for myself. Until the day I can really play them.
You know what the irony is? Is if you don't get into the beta, you're like, what do you mean I don't get into the beta? I'm Scott Johnson from The Instance. They didn't want to invite me. Well, we're fine. And then they invite you. Yeah. And they're like, I don't want to play this. What am I? I'm not going to play spoil myself.
I know. What kind of two-faced freaking Harvey Dent type of guy am I? That's really the question.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm the same. Like, if I when people were getting into the alpha,
yeah.
I was like, what are they going to invite me? Like, am I part of the plebeians now, or do I get special people access?
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. Ultimately I did. And I'm happy about that. And just for that, I'm going to launch it because they might be listening. So I want to assure them that I'm getting great value out of that invitation.
Yes. Well, it's wonderful to have you back. Yeah, some people in the chat room, in fact, saying Roker, how you say that name, says, man, I missed Patrick. Oh, that's so nice.
Aww.
Now,
thank you.
Yeah, that's very kind. Now, here's the deal. Terpster may still join us. It depends sort of on a... they're having a big snow, I guess, in London, which is...
Meaning like an inch and a half?
Yeah, like, you know, it's like when the South here gets snow, they all act like the world's ending. It's a little bit like that. But anyway, they don't know what to do with themselves, so everything's delayed. He had a thing in London, and trying to get back and forth and all that is not working out. So he will probably not be here today, but if he does, he'll just pop in and we'll see him.
I just want to say, you know, there are some... co-hosts that are willing to go the extra mile, even though they might have family obligations and children that are screaming in the next room. And some just decide to go on like business in London and pretend that they're held back by a few little inches of snow.
Yeah, so a couple flakes of condensated, but no, that's not a word. What do you call it when snow is snow and not water? What's it called?
I don't know. The baby's actually screaming.
No, I don't even hear. I don't hear him at all. He's got a quiet.
Okay, screen. Excellent. Great podcasting setup. It's okay. You can keep screaming. Fine.
Wait, is it because you got a good mic that like drowns out sound outside of your face, or what?
Well, it's the same as everyone. It's the Hale PR40.
Using a PR40? What are you? Just like everyone else? Just kidding. That's a great mic. I have one too. It's right here. Talking into it right now. Anyway, hey, this has all been well and good. We've caught up. We've become re-familiarized with Patrick after his not being here. So now there's only this left to do. We got to talk about this Zandalari druid moonkin form. Can we do that for
you
first?
The stuff of WoW nightmares is what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the one. I'll put an image up here on the screen for the chat just in case somebody hasn't seen this freaking horrid mistake of nature. So, I mean, we knew we were going to get like sub-races, we're going to get allied races, rather. We're going to get, all the forms and all the stuff that you would normally get with any other race and the differentiation between them and so on. So, you know, your druid bears, your druid bear form for a... Taurens always got the horns there, you know, and you got something else going on there for, I guess you got tusks on the version for the other trolls, and you know, you expect this. What nobody expected was a moonkin that looks more like a buzzard who needs a sandwich. Like, look at that thing, dude.
It's kind of a humanoid like pterodactyl, but it has the troll tusks coming out of it's like super dinosaur winged, like with how do you call them, the things on the wings?
What do you call that?
The feathers. That's what I meant.
Yeah, that's it.
Like it's a feathered pterodactyl with tusks and a humanoid form. It looks extremely weird, and like something that would attack you in a horror movie.
Would you call it? I mean, if you're going to be a Zandalari troll, like I'm going to be,
I think it's appropriate. I think it's perfect.
Okay,
for the race.
That was my question, because a lot of people are saying, "Well, no, this is just bad and weird and not good, and it doesn't look good." But I think it matches up with the Zandalari.
I mean, they could have gone a few different ways, but I think this is the kind of aesthetic that we expect from those trolls. I mean, they have dinosaurs everywhere on the island and all of that, so I think it works. But it's just weird. It's, you know. But on the other hand, you know, you horde people have weird stuff all over, so I don't think we should be too surprised by this one. You have walking and talking cows, you have like those despicable goblin types, you have like a number of different weird things in your horde. So I think this is appropriate.
Yeah, but look, you've got blue goat men. All right. So no, you can't. You got no room over there to be throwing the shade.
I mean, I'm not so much bothered by the like goat hooves as much as the like Cthulhu tentacles on those goat men. But yeah, sure,
it's true.
I agree.
Those are
they're plotting something. I mean, we're gonna find out at some point that they have some ill intent somewhere in the back of their mind.
Yeah, but, they're old gods, but just split up into a whole bunch of little blue versions of an old god. Here's my thinking, though, with this creature. This is my first take when I saw it was, and I didn't have any context. I just saw this image and somebody freaking out on Twitter and went, oh, what is this? This is horrible. And they didn't label it. So what I thought it was another mount. I thought this was a mount, but for some reason it was standing. Because look at it. It looks like a mount, but on its 2 feet.
I mean, on all fours, it could definitely be a mount. Yeah, I agree.
If that thing leaned over and put its claw hands on the ground, you'd say, you'd say, where's the saddle? I'm supposed to ride that. That's what you'd do. It's a straight up freaking, it's a damn mount is what this is.
Since you're bringing up mounts, I can talk about it afterwards when we're done with the weird pterodactyl things.
Yeah, I'm fine with this because here's, so in all seriousness, I don't like the boomkin form, the regular old moonkin form that we have now. I hate it. It just looks like a...
Well, the boomkins have always been kind of terrible.
They're kind of terrible. They look like my uncle covered in feathers. It's not cool. It just looks like a fat guy casting light. All right? Now, I get that that's maybe... some people are into it, whatever. There's a reason it dances like Chris Farley. Like, it's a kind of a joke, in my opinion. It's fine. It is what it is. I love that they gave us that ability to not have that show when you're in the other... Now, who am I thinking of? My druid does this. So I can't remember the thing you do to make it go away. Maybe it's I don't know what it is. Something. Anyway, there's a way to make it so you never have to be in moonkin form. You just kind of look transparent and
yeah, it's a glyph.
Yeah, it's a glyph. That's what it is, a glyph.
The one I use, yeah.
That's what I use as well. Because I don't want to look at that big, dumb turkey. It's dumb. This I don't mind maybe so much because it's at least weird and new and there's probably some cool animation which we haven't seen yet and all of that. Of course, this stands upright like the Zandalaris do as well. So good posture all around. anyway, that's been the big talk this week. I mean, if you're going to rate the last couple of weeks in overall WoW output, most of it has been, you know, tweaks to the server. And then this! Like, these are the two things.
Well,
that's all there is.
There's the seething shore, and there's lots of info from the alpha, actually. Have you... I sent you a link to the... to the frog mount. Did you see the frog mount?
No. Hold on. Let's have a look together, chat. Here's the frog mount Patrick just told me about. Oh, no, I did see this. Wait. I did see this. This is awesome. This is the greatest mount of all time, perhaps.
Right?
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Yeah, I think I'm... Oh. Yeah, this might be... This is probably the best mount ever made by any video game company in the history of the world. I mean, look at that.
Okay, thing. I wouldn't go that far, but
look
yes,
at that thing. Cool. Look at the leather, like that weird leather array of like rings and leather that makes the strapping for it. It's just, it's awesome. Look at that thing. Yeah.
And the next link is animated. Just go to the next link, and you can see it go like whoop, whoop. It's kind of weird but cool.
Oh, there's one. Can I see it on its own? Yes. Yeah, there he is jumping. Ooh, it's kind of gross. I'm into it, but
like the last one, go to the last one on the other picture.
On
the right.
Hold on, here
you can just see it.
Oh, here it is, just kind of gesticulating.
Stationary. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here he is. Whoops, I didn't mean to get out of it.
So I like those ones. There are parrot mounts. There's hyena mounts. There's a bunch of stuff. But yeah,
it's all good stuff. All of it's good. Like everything they're showing that they're putting into this thing, everything that's showing up in the alpha, it's a strong showing. The Zandalari boomkin form, whew, that dominated the news. but anyway, there's some other stuff going on. Of course, the Seething Shore is out 10v10. Here's their exact text. I'm gonna have some music with this too. How about this?
This is Al Gore.
Are you gonna do a dramatic reading?
Yes. Let's see. I gotta find a. Okay, here we go. Oh yeah. Well, I don't know how dramatic it'll be. I'm not like Terpster. He's weird. But anyway.
I can do it.
All right.
I can do it.
Read it. Go.
Azeroth
has been dealt a terrible blow. Her wound is grave, and a powerful new substance known as Azerite has been seen seeping up to the surface.
Wait. Why are you a South African vampire? Why is that happening?
Hey, you can't tell me what I am.
All right, fine.
I decide what I am, right, and I decide that I am one of the, I don't know, something.
All right, keep going.
Should I keep going?
Yes, please keep going. No, I want more.
Okay.
As hostilities between the Horde and Alliance reignite, both factions recognize Azerite's potential to turn the coming battle in their favor. Located on an island near Silithus, the seething shore challenges teams to compete for control of Azerite nodes. Three nodes are active at any given time, and the first team to collect 1,500 Azerite claims victory. To succeed, you'll need team coordination to lock down control of the various nodes across the island, and while keeping a keen eye on the sky for additional power-ups that could give your team the edge you need. Take part in the special preview brawl beginning February 27 before it goes live on the normal battleground rotation on March 6th.
Ah, very nice.
So it's basically a brawl right now,
right.
And it's going live in a few days. And yeah. It's really cool. It is surprisingly cool.
I've heard good things. I've not seen it myself yet, but heard it's pretty good. And well done on the reading. You want to suck our blood, is what it sounded like there at the end.
Uh-huh. The really cool thing is that it's incredibly dynamic because you drop on the map, basically PUBG style. You're in the flying ships. And you jump off, and you have the parachute that opens up like 5 meters from the ground, and that's kind of funny already. You decide where you're going to jump off from the ship once the battleground starts.
Clearly, a nod to PUBG, right? Wouldn't you say? It has to be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nod. It's not like they're making PUBG and WoW. A little nod.
Right.
But it also serves a function because you can't actually drop whenever you want. You know, you decide where you drop on the map.
Right.
The other thing is the nodes pop up three at a time. There can be three on the map at one time, and they take a little bit of time to actually become the nodes that you can mine. It's maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So people are rushing to the node that just appeared, and then you have to channel mining for about, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds, so you can gather the resource, and it gives you 100 points. And the first one to get to 1500 wins the battleground. Mm. The cool thing is that those nodes have like 15 different spawn points possible on the map, but you never really know where the next one is going to pop up. And so it becomes incredibly dynamic where you have to decide where to go at one point, at what point, with which team members and all of this. The points aren't as fixed as in the other battlegrounds, so it's a lot more random and snap decision making kind of thing. I really like it. I think it's a really interesting take on the battleground in the game, and it's surprisingly fun.
Has it been a while since we've had? I don't remember when the last battleground was. Like new one,
I think we got arenas for the last expansions, but the last battleground must have been Mists. You know, the Kot Morgu, I can't remember, but the Power Stone things.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's a long time ago. So I'm all for this. Let's get it in there. Pub Wow, that's it. Pub Wow, we're gonna call it from now on. Pub Wow. Seething Shore, try it. Get in there. Give it a shot. And like they said, not going to be in the full rotation until March 6th. Does that date mean anything else? Like, is that a hint toward any other kind of anything? Probably not.
Well, March 6th is 6-3. If you add 6 and 3, you get 9, which means the expansion is the 9th expansion. And so that's the release date. Oh, my God.
Oh, geez. Oh, I forgot you guys do date 6-3-2018. That's how you do it.
because we're not weird.
Well, why do we do it the other way? I'm not saying you're wrong, but what's up with us? Why do we do the month first?
You know, I think it might work better with doing it the other way around, because if you want to order your files, how do we do it? We do the month first, right? We do year, month.
No. We do month, day, year. You guys go. You guys go day, month, year.
Oh, right. We go day, month, year, which is weird if you want to, you know, like order the files and you name the files with the date in the name file, in the file name.
Yeah.
And then you want to order it and it doesn't really work. So I like your way better, actually, for once.
I kind of do, too. But I like mushed potatoes in the chat room suggestion. The best way is year, month, day. We should all settle on that. That's pretty good.
Yes, I agree.
Because that is that makes sorting easier, like file sorting, like you were talking about. It also just... It makes sense. You do the big chunk of time, the smaller chunk of time, and the little chunk of time. Why are we not doing that? Come on, America.
Also, and world. You can't get to the metric system. So one battle at a time.
I want to make this clear for one more time, because I have to bring this up all the time. I am fully in on the metric system. The only one that gives me pause or screws me up or I don't know it very well is temperatures. That's it. Everything else, every day I work on projects that are 100% millimeters, meters, centimeters. Like, measurement-wise, I am already with you, man. F inches. F them right back to Imperial England. Don't care about them. But millimeters, I'm all about the millimeters. Bring me the M&Ms. I'm good. All right.
Okay. Also, I just let you have that one. Battle for Azeroth is the 7th expansion. I'm sorry, I said 9th. It was in the heat of the moment. I apologize. It was a mistake.
No, it's fine. Does feel like we're further in, though, doesn't it? It feels like 9 would have been a normal number, but yeah, you're right. 7th expansion total. How many? So that means, let's see, when do we get 10? Because that'll be a big celebration. How many years? That's a lot of years. I don't want to think about
that. Well, we're the 7th now, so we need 3 more. It's usually one every 2 years, more or less.
Yeah.
So 6 years, let's say 2023, because it might be a little bit shorter.
Yeah. Wow, that's weird to think about. All right. I don't want to think about it. So we're going to move on.
No, let's not.
Yeah, let's move on. Anyway, get in there. The brawl begins the 27th.
The game will be 20 years old at that point.
Yeah, that's a good day. Oh, my gosh. What? That is mind-blowing. Yesterday, somebody told me Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was 29 years old, and I just didn't believe him. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, how's that even a thing?
The thing is, when you think about the length of time that has, that has been between Bill and Ted and WoW, like, that was really long.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it's now a lot longer between WoW and now than it was between Bill and Ted and, well, not a lot. But
I don't like any of this. This is all bad. Hey, you guys, quick conversation about Audible. Audiobooks are great for helping you be a better you. For our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. And if you want to listen to it, Audible's got it. Doesn't matter what kind of book you're looking for. Just go to audible.com/wow or text WOW to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Whether you want to feel healthier, get motivated, learn something new, Audible's got an audiobook for that. It's not all just, you know, fantasy and science fiction for some of us. I mean, I'm into that, but there's a whole lot more to be found there. I've been listening to Audible for a long time, and in fact, my most recent book was utterly fantastic. It was the latest in the Expanse series of novels, which I first found on TV and went, oh, I like this. What are these books about? And immediately started getting the books, and they're great on Audible. You can check those out as well. James S.A. Corey killing it over there with the Audible versions of those books. Here's what I want you to do. Speed control. Oh, by the way, check this out. Speed control. Listen faster or slower. Narration at the speed that suits you. I forgot they added this. This is the coolest feature. So everyone's always saying, hey, sometimes we listen to your podcast and we listen to it a little faster so because I only got so much of a commute or whatever. Now you can do that with Audible. You can do it with your books. Oh. The syncing features are awesome, too. It's also good. Anyway, here's what I want you to do. Get a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial at audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500. That's audible.com, audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500. Do it today. Moving on, Duncan Jones spilled the beans on how hard it was to make the Warcraft film. You know, that movie suffered from a few things, mostly negative reviews, and didn't do so well at the box. Obviously, it's not in the States. Did okay overseas. Doesn't seem like a sequel is planned, at least in the near future, and it doesn't seem like he would be tied to it. And he got asked some questions in an interview, talked a lot about what it took to get the thing made, what it was like to work with a major studio on the project, Blizzard being a factor in there that's a little unusual in that they are, you know, they're always very careful about their IPs, and so a little bit of politics there. But here's what he said. I just thought it was interesting. He says, Warcraft was a political minefield as far as filmmaking goes, and I think a lot of the rewriting in that over the course of making the movie was really, really difficult and at times disheartening. Just being forced to make changes and compromises just due to the politics and nature of that film. So that was a real heart-wrencher, but I've learned a lot and become more mature and been able to deal with these kinds of situations because I've been through it now, but at the time that felt pretty traumatic. And you got to remember, Duncan Jones is coming off of, what was it? He did Moon, and then he did the one with the one with Jake Gyllenhaal on the train, and
the train one.
Bottom out chicken fart.
Source code.
Source code. That's it. I was close. So all he had done these is relatively small movies, smaller budgets, that sort of thing. Hadn't really butted up against the monster that is big politics at a major movie studio. And then he goes on to say it was mainly studio politics. You know, Legendary had an incredible turbulent period while we were making Warcraft. They were associated with Warner Brothers. They left Warner Brothers. They joined Universal. They were sold to Wanda, this Chinese conglomerate. They lost or replaced a number of their producing staff halfway through our movie. He says at the same time as all of that, we were also working with Blizzard, who understandably were very careful about what was happening with the movie because their bread and butter was the game Warcraft, which was bringing in $1 billion a year for them. So whatever we did with the movie was likely to be small potatoes compared to how important the game was for them. So it was really very active political landscape. I think I learned a lot from that experience. And if I ever put myself in that situation again, even though I went in with eyes open, I am a lot wiser now. I like his attitude, but also it's interesting. And this is kind of the feeling I had kind of, I don't know, after the initial announcements and the excitement of the Warcraft movie, he started to get this feeling that, oh yeah, this is Hollywood and things are weird here. And you're talking about, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars in costs. And it starts to just get weird, you know? So if you liked Warcraft, thumbs up. I enjoyed it fine for what it was, but there was always a sense that this could have been something really great. And it was hard to tell why it was being held back. So I don't know. Just thought that was interesting. Patrick, any thoughts about the we're far enough away. What was that? 2016. We're far enough away from the movie that you probably have an opinion about it now. Was that 2015? 2016.
I've always had an opinion.
Yeah.
About the movie.
Well, I mean not that, but I mean like in retrospect, like, and given what we know from him, like I don't know. How do you feel about it? Was it a mistake? Should they have never made one? What should they have done?
No, I mean, I'm kind of like you. I like the movie fine for what it is. I think it's not a great movie, but it's if you're a Warcraft fan, and it's probably going to provide you with a good amount of entertainment. I think the critics were overly and ridiculously harsh with it, and that was not deserved. Regarding what Jones is saying now, I'm sure the politics side of it were horrendous. What I can speak to is how Blizzard manages these kinds of things. I don't know who was involved with the movie. I'm guessing top-level executives, like storytelling, art department kind of people. None of us were involved with it. But from what we usually did with other projects, Blizzard always tried to have a lot of control over the quality of the final product for mm-hmm. every partner, everything we worked with. There was always a lot of, you know, I don't want to say control, but at least check from Blizzard, because there's this, I don't know if you know that story about Morhaime's experience with giving publishing away to a company for European releases of some of the early games.
No, I'm very interested in that. What happened there?
So this is, I mean, it's public knowledge, but something happened with the manual where the publisher translated the manual, but they had this protection system where they would ask you a word from page whatever, you know, the fifth word of the second paragraph and the third line.
Yeah.
What word is it? In order to make sure that you had the manual and that it wasn't a pirated game. And apparently the publisher that handled that for some of the European countries didn't translate it properly, or didn't translate. They didn't tell them that that was going to be changed, and some people couldn't get into the game because they didn't have the proper word to give to the game. Right. Something to that extent. And so from then on, Morhaime was like, well, F this, we're going to do everything ourselves. And I think that permeates still to this day, where Blizzard really wants to make sure that everything is done up to the standard of quality that they want for their own games. Right. So they're not the kind of company that gives away a project and says, all right, you got the license, do what you do. Make sure you do a good job, right? Yeah. All right. See you later. Mm. That's not how they work. So I don't know how influence they had over the movie itself, but I can imagine that I know that for Sam Raimi, the issue with Raimi was that him and the studio thought, all right, we're going to do this the way we want to. And after a few months, or I don't know, a couple of years, Blizzard was like, guys, we don't really like that script. And we're like, well, it's our movie. And Blizzard was like, no, this is our property. And that's why the Raimi deal fell through, right?
Yeah, that was the word anyway. I mean, they were never very clear about what all went down with that, but
it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
It's
pretty clear. And I totally, I agree with all of this. I think that it's been obvious in other ways too. Like for a while there, they licensed out a physical TCG game or a CCG game that was based on Warcraft, and then they stopped doing that and made their own game. For a while there, they would put out clothing deals for other people to make, and toys and other stuff, and they would let someone else have the license for that, and then they would sell those products, and then they stopped doing that and brought out all that internally, and they do everything themselves now, pretty much. Not entirely, but there's
even on the things when they work with external partners, there is a lot of validation and like making sure the quality is up to the standards and all of this. So
right. In
the case of the movie, I can absolutely imagine how it was. When Duncan Jones says political minefield, I can imagine that it was like, all right, we have to please these people and these people, and these think that this is how it should be done, and they know the movie industry. And oh, wait a second, Blizzard is saying we should do it like that because that doesn't work with the... And so in the end, you get like I can see how it could become a too many cooks situation.
Sure.
And his voice not being able to be heard as much as he would have wanted.
Yeah.
Would he have had a better result if he had just had free reign and done everything the way he wanted? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can see how it could have been a complicated project to put together.
Right. I mean, I think Blizzard thought they had a more of an ace in the hole, or a better chance of getting what they wanted out of this, because Duncan Jones was a fan and a player and, you know, came to it from that angle. Probably not enough given the craziness of the film industry and all of that. But what I hope this is a lot like the physical CCG, or a lot like other licensing deals that they brought internally, or hell, Blizzard North was shut down so they could bring everything closer to Irvine. They didn't even like that arrangement, and that studio made one of the best games of all time. So maybe what this means is the next time
they're
going
to do it themselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And it can be, and they don't need to go a wholly traditional route. They could make their own kind of deal with somebody like Netflix or Hulu, whoever, for a series, for a one-off, for a limited whatever, and they could go either live action, they could go animated, but they could control everything even if they wanted to produce it all internally and hire a bunch of new guys and just expand on their animation studio, they could do all of that on their own. I would be 100% cool with all that. That is where I would love for this experience and this learning experience to go, is for them to pick it up and say, yeah, just like the days of old when Morheim said, no, we're doing this ourselves. We're doing this ourselves, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, everyone always says, oh, they should do a full CG animated thing. And yeah, that would be cool. Of course, that would be awesome. I don't think they would bring in a full live action movie in studio. I don't think they have. They know they don't have the expertise for that. Right. That is not something you can do yourself.
But they could VO even, and animate that thing, man. They could do.
Yeah,
they
there you go. That. Like a CG animated thing. But even the hybrid semi in-game engine that, you know, Terran is using for his and the animation team is using for their that I would be interested in seeing what that would be. You know, a full feature movie of that level of quality. They don't even have to go full CG, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But
I would. Oh my gosh! I'd take an anime. I don't care what we do.
But we're also super mega fans, right? Mm-hmm. And these kinds of things would probably speak to people like us. And there are a few dozen millions, but I don't know if that makes the entire, enterprise worth it. But then again, it doesn't. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? But I don't know. Interesting insight from Duncan Jones on. How the poop gets made, for lack of a better way of saying it. Look, we all need to see. Some of us need to see with the help of contacts. I know plenty of you do. I wear contacts. I wear glasses as well. It's kind of a combo for me, but some people it's contacts all day, all the time, right? Well, this episode of The Instance is brought to you by Simple Contacts. I always find myself dreading the annual appointment to renew my prescription. That's why I was so excited to try Simple Contacts, a great new app that makes the time-consuming prescription renewal process very, well, simple. Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription and reorder your brand of lenses from anywhere in minutes. Brings that doctor's office straight to you. They have a vision test designed by doctors, and every test is carefully reviewed by a doctor. But you just do it with your camera. Simple Contacts offers an amazing selection with every brand of lenses. And their prices are hard to beat. The eye exam is just $20, and they offer free shipping. Please note the Simple Contacts vision test isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. But, man, I love them. I really like them a lot. I have a certain brand that I use, and they're the only kind that are comfortable for me. And there are a bunch of services out there that just plain don't give me those. Or they're more expensive. They're priced right. And they're simple and easy to use. And getting a renewal here couldn't be easier at simplecontacts.com. To save $30 on your first Simple Contacts order, go to simplecontacts.com/wow or enter the promo code WOW at checkout. Again, that's simplecontacts.com/WOW, like wow, or enter the promo code WOW at checkout. Give it a try and thank me later. You're going to see better. And it'll be more convenient, and that's a good thing. Well, that's about it in the World of Warcraft. There's a ton going on, but it's all like server tweaks and a couple of class changes. And
I'm almost exalted with both Argus factions. I have one, and another one is... Because I want to be able to play the allied races. I want to run through the game in with the new leveling. Mm-hmm. What's it called? Like
the scaled leveling.
Scaling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're probably close.
I don't want to do it with an old character. I want to do it with a new allied race. So
right. I 100% agree. I'm totally with you. And you just, I mean, if you're like me, you just gotta get a little catch up done. It's totally fine. You'll get there. Mm-hmm. Not worried about you.
Almost there.
One thing, I mean, Terpster and I talked about this a ton, but who are you leaning toward allied race-wise? Who do you want to craft?
Oh, Void Elf.
Oh, look at that. All right. You know the problem with the Void Elves are the Void Elves, they're basically just night. They're blood elves that are blue, dude. Doesn't that bug you a little bit?
No. Okay. They're really cool. And they have this weird internal conflict, but they master their shadowy side, and that's really cool. And also they look pretty nice, unlike, again, the Lightforged Draenei, who I don't trust because of their face tentacles. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's something shifty about those.
No, I know. You dream about these tentacles at night, and it's not good. Oh, I'm sorry. Testicles is what you dream of at night. I had that wrong. I wrote that down wrong.
The face testicles?
Yeah, yes, face testicles. They're the worst. Never, stay away from those. Okay. It's time for us to dive a little into this. Yes, that's right. There's other stuff happening around Blizzard, and we will highlight them for you real quickly here. What is your take on that Diablo light switch thing? Because I think that means Diablo's coming to the Switch. I think you probably do too, but do you have any additional insight on what you think they're doing there?
So actually, that was my initial reaction. I was like, oh my God, they're teasing Diablo on the Switch.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it, and I thought, that's a pretty crappy way of doing that. Like, the image quality is bad. And then they got an official response to Polygon, and they're saying, we can assure you we're not that clever. It was meant to be a fun community engagement piece. We have nothing to announce. And those kinds, if it was a tease, they would not have answered anything.
Okay.
And also, it doesn't make sense with the quality. And so I think it actually isn't. It was just a way for the Diablo Twitter account to say goodnight. And that was it.
They have to be more careful, though. You know what I mean? Like, you say the word. Didn't they say the words like switching off for the night or something like that? Like, it was some kind of weird language. Or maybe I'm reading too much into it. But you had put, yes, the first tweet I saw was yours.
It was the Blizzard Entertainment account too. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. It wasn't even the Diablo one. But they have to be careful with that stuff. And I guess if they've said something, fine. But I'm not. I mean, I hold out hope. That's perfectly suited for that device. It runs great as a console game. I really enjoyed my time on the PS4 Diablo 3. I'd play the hell out of that on the Switch. Oh my gosh, I'd never leave my bed. It'd be amazing.
I agree. They said sweet dreams, not switching off.
Oh, that's what it was.
So, all right. I mean, yes, I think they have to be. We've been talking about this for a while. We are pretty sure, all of us at the instance, that they're thinking about doing something on the Switch. There was a rumor at some point that Hearthstone was going to be coming out on the console.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Still possible. I could see that.
It's still possible. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. They have to be looking at the Switch. I mean, as we said many times, it's certain people at Blizzard love Nintendo so much that I wouldn't be surprised if they were looking at it.
But, yeah, we haven't seen.
And now it's getting the numbers. What is it, like 14 million install base?
Oh yeah, it's a bona fide device, that system seller thing. Like, they could do really well on it. And nobody's seen hide nor hair of Corey Stockton. We know what his Nintendo love looks like. So I say, wherever he's at, something going on there, some secret little room he's in. Who knows?
Well, one thing I will say, if a game comes out on Switch, it probably won't be a Switch only game. I think Blizzard looks at, you know, the money side of things, and they're like, we need to put a game out that is either PC or everything, you know, or at least a few different platforms.
Well, but in particular, if they're going to do the exception would be a Diablo port, because then this is just extending it out to yet another console device.
Right. Yes. So, and it's also a good way to get a little bit of practice for another, like, a real game, if you want to develop on the Switch. But again, I think the statement, to me, the way I understand it, is, well, that was actually not what we think it was.
Right. Well, anyway, that's coming, something, eventually. But this thing is just a light. They're just dorking around with us. Heroes of the Storm got a rad new skin pack. It's the Enforcer's pack. The only thing I would say about it is that it's Gen Greymane, Morales, and Johanna. So three games represented. They're all sort of in SWAT cop gear, and it's super over the top and awesome. But it's just skin pack.
I like the video. I like the promo video.
Yeah, it's super cool. I'm really into it. And I think Greymane looks incredible with his, like, aviators and his mustache. It's just awesome. He turns into a dog, like a canine unit, instead of a werewolf. Just really cool. Anyway, there's also, speaking of ADR and them messing around with our brains, there's hints of Deckard Cain coming. The reason we think this is we see a image with a pile of books with candles about them. It's definitely sort of that, here's a sanctuary place where Deckard Cain's back there somewhere going, Leia, hand me the thesaurus or whatever. It's that kind of place. And then behind him, he's got these stained glass windows that are reminiscent of, they basically tell the story of the dragon level. I forgot the name of it. Dragon something something.
Dragonshire? Anyway,
Dragonshire, that's it. And it seems pretty obvious to me that this is probably Deckard Cain, finally. It seems like a character we were always going to get anyway, but just was taking forever. But we'll see. Again, just a tease. And the tease is over for, I'm going to call her Bridget for just a second. She's the latest hero coming to Heroes of the Storm, or sorry, to Overwatch. She's a melee frontline support type character. As best I can tell, she has no projectile sort of functionality outside of her little pushback thing. She's Torbjorn's daughter. I totally called this. And let me tell you when I called it. I called it at BlizzCon when she shows up in that Reinhardt video, the Reinhardt cinematic, and she's talking to him, trying to talk him into whatever, joining up again or what, I don't know what the deal was. And I went, oh, she'll be a character. And I am sure, 100% sure this is going to be her. And then, jump way ahead, they start showing like these little sketches on a table and all this, and I went, oh, it's totally her. This is her. And it was her. I called it. Patrick.
Such insight, Scott. I can't believe that you were so clever as to realize that one character that has major ties to many other characters in the game and that has been featured in comics and videos ends up being in the game. Yeah. I'm amazed.
Who's his wife, by the way? Do we know who Torbjorn's married to, or who the mother is? Because she must be taller than him.
She has a name, and we see like a drawing of her in the origin story of Brigitte, which is the way you pronounce it.
Okay, say that again so that everyone can hear that.
Brigitte. It's because she's Swedish, and that is, I mean, I'm sure the Swedes listening to this are going to go like, oh my God, Patrick, stop making a fool of yourself. But that's more or less how you pronounce it.
Wouldn't you say Brigitte or something like that? Because
would be the French pronunciation.
Oh. Brigitte. Oh, yeah, that is French sounding. Okay. So Brigitte. Yeah. I order that every time I go to Olive Garden. I always get the fresh Brigitte. It's so good.
I would love for her to be Birgitte, which is the more Swedish variation, but no, it's Birgitte.
Put a little extra Borka Borka in there. Anyway,
but so and so the character, really cool. I really like her. I've managed to play her a few times on PTR. Mm-hmm. Not super easy because either you go to the no limits mode and everyone's playing her, except a couple of dorks that are playing her direct counters just to ruin everyone's day. Mm-hmm. Or you go to the regular gameplay thing, and that you have one chance out of a million to be quick enough to get her. But did manage to play her a few times. And she's really cool. She has, her kit is really nice. She's not super complicated to play, but not super easy either. She heals everyone around her, and she's, as you said, a melee healer. So she really impacts the meta in a way that she counters a lot of the dive comps. She can one-shot combo Tracer. If you manage to do her combo well enough. Mm-hmm. And the character itself, I think she has a lot of like, she looks like a, I don't know what that image is you put.
I don't either. I couldn't find a good one of her in the cinematic, and for some reason there's a Jeff Kaplan frown next to her, but whatever. I don't know why.
She looks like a hero, and traditional hero type that we don't have so many in Overwatch. Like, many of the heroes are kind of quirky or a little bit weird, and she's just like a squire to the Crusader Reinhardt, and she looks like she's pretty and she's tough and she's badass and she's full of good sentiment, and I really like her.
I do too. Character wise, I'm more excited about her than I have been for a while, because for whatever reason I just find her way more relatable than, say, Moria was at first, or, you know, other characters. Yeah. She seems really cool. Anyway, sorry, interrupted.
I'm sure her first skin is going to be Johanna from Diablo, like the Crusader.
She has to be. She's got a mace. She's got a big
shield.
She's
basically already that, but...
yeah, that's true. Yeah, she looks great. I'm very excited to give her a shot. I've not cracked the PTR to even try it, but my kids have, and they all rave about her. So,
oh, she's really cool.
Big
she's
Overwatch so cool. house here.
Let's go
in my
play
house.
Her now.
Yeah, let's go play her now. What else? So, let me ask you this: is her healing kind of like an aura? Then is she just like farting it off the whole time she's up there?
So. The way she does it is that she heals. She has a little health pack yeah. that she can throw at someone like a Zenyatta orb, and that heals a certain amount, but it also overheals into armor. So she gives armor for like 4 or 5 seconds if she does that, and the cooldown on this is like 4 or 5 seconds as well.
Oh, all right.
But the main healing is when she hits someone with her melee weapon. Then you get an area of effect, slow heal over time. So you heal someone, and she also has a shield, but a tiny version of Reinhardt's shield, which she can protect people with, and that's also damage mitigation. But so when she hits someone with her little flail, which is actually quite has a wide range,
yeah.
You will start healing over time over 5 seconds, like 80 points of health. And so you can hit once, stop hitting, hit once, stop hitting, and it will refresh the heal all the time.
Mm.
So you really have to be in the middle of the... it creates kind of death bowl compositions, which are very different from what we've seen now.
Sure.
Yeah, so she's very cool.
Very interested. I'm going to call her Baguette.
Ooh, okay. She boops everyone. Like, she has a shield bash she boops people with, and her little, like, extended hook-type thing with her flail also boops people. So if you manage to do things correctly, you can boop people left and right off the map all the time. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's just interesting to have a pure melee character now. She has no projectiles, where all the other melee focused characters, Reinhardt, Doomfist, all those guys, they have some kind of projectile. She has none. Not really, anyway.
Yeah, not really. I mean,
her heal thing is, but
you can say her flail, like the hook flail shot.
Yeah.
Sort of considered.
Yeah. It's just short. It's that short range. It's hard to call it much else. But
anyway, well, it's like Roadhog's hook, basically.
Yeah, Roadhog's hook. That's what they call him in high school. Hey, look at this. Hearthstone went. It's doing all kinds of wild stuff. Some sort of wild event. I haven't touched it, so I have nothing to say about it. Any interest to you on that whole bit?
Well, I haven't played Hearthstone for a while. But the coolest thing is the revamp of the ranked mode, which had some issues over the week, but now they've been fixed. And the way it works now is that you only lose five ranks after the end of the season, instead of a great number of ranks, but everyone loses the same amount, which means there isn't a stacking of the entire population within 10 levels. And so everyone is fighting, like, you'll have some rank 20 people fighting some rank 5 people for the first 15 days of the season. So that is actually a really positive change to the way the ranked mode is working. And then every rank only has 5 stars. And that means that you don't turn the entire thing into an exponentially difficult grind, because when you get to rank, 5 to 1, you have to win, like, I don't know how many stars it was, but like 8 or 9, to rank up. So I think everyone's been pretty positive with this. They're also teasing the next expansions in the upcoming year, which is the year of the mammoth, I believe.
Year of the is it?
I think it's mammoth.
Because I just bought their mammoth deal,
but so it's another one.
It's
okay, the
else.
Year of if Joss had her say, it would be the year of the unicorn, but I know it isn't, and she's very upset.
She's never gonna get that. It's never happening. They will never.
Oh,
do the
Raven!
Unicorn.
It's the Raven.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
The Raven Lord. They're getting the Raven Lord from Heroes of the Storm.
Basically.
Well, probably not.
And the other thing, Unicorn is part of the astrology thing of Hearthstone, so it will come at some point.
Yeah.
And that's why Joss is very upset that it's not yet, but,
It's not going to. I don't even think they're going to skip it somehow. They'll come up with an excuse. Unicorns are dumb. There, I said it.
Is it Garrett
watching? I don't know. Is Garrett watching? Yeah. Oh, there's an A move in there today? Who we got? Probably Garrett.
And the other thing, the other cool thing is that they're working on a tournament mode finally, which will go in beta sometime during this year, and it will be released towards the, well, at some point in the year. It will be available, and tournament organizers can finally organize in-game tournaments with, like, it will take care of the matchmaking, the results, the all of that. So, yeah.
Things happening in Hearthstone, as always. All right, mm-hmm. Well, that's the end of that, then. How about we dive into one of these?
Hey, Garrett. I miss
that?
You.
That is Garrett.
Ooh, I forgot to say. Oh, I forgot. Wait, Scott.
Go ahead.
We forgot the most important piece of news of the entire Blizzard world.
Oh, my gosh. Did we? Hold on. We should do something serious for this. Hold on. Let's do this. Okay. Hold on. I got a little. Here, let's go. Okay. Patrick's about to announce what it is.
Scott.
Yeah.
You know how I've been playing ranked Overwatch for a long time?
Yes.
And I was stuck in gold and couldn't reach platinum?
Yes.
Well, I did.
Oh,
I
my gosh. He reached season. Platinum, you guys. Hold on. Level him up. Wait, woo-hoo! I don't have a good...
Thank you. Listen.
Well done. Good job.
You joke. You make fun. But I have been fighting for this for what feels like my entire adult life. I neglected my child. I let my marriage go sour.
Yeah.
I have, but finally, I managed to reach platinum, and I cannot tell you how happy that made me. Mm. It was basically like my wedding day all over again.
Wow, that's really something. People, don't tell Sonya that, but yeah.
People who have been listening to Overwatchers for the run of that show will know how much it means to me. And sure, it was the end of the season. The players were really bad. It was on the EU servers, and the match I got to platinum with was the worst thing I have ever seen in Overwatch. Like, it was horrible gameplay, but still, I don't care. I'm taking that win. I am now a platinum player, and yeah, there you go.
Well done.
I'm very happy.
Platinum finally, everybody. Celebrate with Patrick or the rest of us by listening to this cool song. Hold on. Check it out. Here you go. It's going to build up. This is victory for Patrick, everybody. Put your hands together. Drop the beat. There you go.
Thank you. I really appreciate that you would do that for me, Scott, and whoever composed that music in my honor.
Music. That's what we'll call
and
it.
And I know it means something. You don't understand, but Garrett in the chat room knows how I feel, and he's sending me bro hearts, and I appreciate it.
Oh, that's sweet. Chat room says we should be using the Dear Martha music for this, and he's probably right. We probably should be, because it's more of a melancholy kind of thing. Not melancholy, but you know, I'm tearing up over here about your exciting new venture, about you finally hitting platinum. Well done, yeah. Patrick. Well
and
done.
And Garrett is actually being snarky, so I don't like him anymore. Whatever.
I take everything nice I've ever said back. So exactly. Take that. All right. Oh, look at this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
All right, time for the Town Crier. This is where we get your emails, read them, and respond to them. They come to us at theinstance@gmail.com, and this one comes from Brodus. Brodus. Or is it Broadus? I'm not sure. Broad, which is broad, D-U-S. So Broadus, I guess. Anyway.
Maybe he's a large person.
He's a very large man. He says, Dear Instance Crew, well, he may not be a dude. I don't know, actually. I want to assume. Says, I just was pondering the advent of a classic server. What do you think this means for those items you can no longer get? If it falls under the Battle.net account, any mounts you should find, or sorry, you find should be added to your current day's tunes as well, right? He says, I missed the AQ click, excuse me, and the crystal pep because I was at work.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah, that's true. He says, if, and this is a huge if, AQ is open again in the classic server, does this give some of us the opportunity to pick up on some of those old items, including the Naxx armor set that was retired? Things to think about. Which way do you think Blizz would go? Keep up the fantastic work, Broadus. Well, thank you for thinking we're doing something fantastic, first of all. Second of all, it's a great question. I think the classic server stuff stays there. Whatever you find there and get there, and there'll be things to earn and have, but I don't think they come out of there. I don't think you're going to suddenly log into your regular tune and have your AQ pet show up in your inventory. That's just my thinking. And remember, these pets that you used to get and mounts, they used to be in your inventory. Okay, so like in your bag was a horse, and you would click that bag, that slot where the horse was, and you would now hop on a horse. And if you wanted to have more than five or six mounts, yeah, it's annoying. So I'm saying what you're going to get with that classic server in theory, and we don't know any details yet, so this is all theory, but if it's truly classic, you're going to have a bag where you'll have room for a couple of mounts and a couple of pets, not some big catalog to just click and mount, you know, choose from, if they're indeed going back to those same old tropes and stuff. So I wouldn't get too excited about any of that stuff moving out of that space. It's going to be there and there only, and maybe because they've retired some of that stuff, maybe that's the only place you can get it. And in that way, it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Not that it will drive me to do much over there, because I don't really care enough to play classic servers, I don't think yet. But for some people, that's going to be the way they collect everything, is they go back and get it there if they didn't get it the first time. What do you think, Patrick? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think you should call the episode A Horse in the Bag, or Click the Horse in Your Bag, or something like that.
All right.
Second of all, no, I agree. It's going to be separate. It's not. I think the accounts are going to be entirely, or the servers, or it's not going to translate.
Right.
I don't think so.
Don't you? I mean, I just can't imagine them saying anything you earn there. Well, carrot. Like, why? Why?
No. And actually, B-Switch in the chat room is saying another reason would be that if you could get those, then it would kind of feel like you're forcing people on live servers to go there to get those mounts and pets.
Mm.
Because that's the way people always think. And they don't want to do that either. So,
right.
Yeah. The closest they would do to that would maybe be, hey, if you log into the classic server, you're going to get this mount in the live game, you know, but you just need to log in and it's going to be like a different color mount from that thing. That's possible, but not in the way he brought us is describing it.
Right. Also, just like the announcement, J. Allen Brack's announcement of the classic servers on stage at BlizzCon is the definition of no details. Got up and said, classic servers, anyways, and then moved on. Like, it's just like there, we don't know anything. So I don't even know if people are going to get the classic they think they're going to get. I, you know, who knows at this point? So we'll wait and see. One would think that maybe, probably not until, but maybe this coming BlizzCon, that might be a place where they would say finally and say, well, you know, here's kind of what you can expect. I don't know.
I think they have to say something. Yeah. If they don't, then people are going to go, you know, go back to being snarky like Garrett again.
Yeah, so. Garrett snark is, oh man, that won't come out of your clothes. You'll smell that all week.
He was just being snarky before about me finally reaching platinum.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I did that without trading at all because I'm awesome and you suck.
What? He's not even playing that game right now, is he? He's even playing Overwatch?
No. And don't say that. He's going to go like, well, yeah, I got platinum without even liking or playing the game.
And then
you wonder why I stopped doing all the shows with him.
Yeah, he guest hosted on TMS this week. Did a fine job. Did a real good job. I quizzed him on what's the damn game he plays all the time? Hearthstone, and he passed glowingly. Did really well. So good job. That's all. That's the only nice thing I'll say today about Garrett Weinzer.
Well, I would say many nice things about
Garrett. Yeah, he's a good guy.
But we don't have enough time for that.
No, click the horse in your bag, Garrett. That's gonna do it for the show. Thanks, everybody. I guess Terpster is snowed in. He is not making it. Well, not even snowed in. He can't even. I think he can't get the right transportation where he needs to go, or something. Something bad's going on. He'll be okay, but he's a resourceful young man. He'll become the leader. Like, if here's what would happen if a room full of people were if the world went zombie and a room full of people barred themselves in, were like, all right, we need to plan on what we're going to do here. How are we going to survive? Terpster would be a good addition to the team. He would step right up and go, all right, yeah, you know, he'd do his thing.
You're right. That does sound like a fantastic addition to a zombie apocalypse surviving squad. I don't know. I had my doubts initially when you started saying things like
but
that.
But I really convinced you at the end there. I see how it's gone. All right. Before we go, Patrick, tell people where people can find more Patrick. Because I guess you're back in the full swing here. So there's plenty of content. Where can they go?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I'm kind of, you know, I'm tired all the time. just follow me on Twitter. I'm Not Patrick on Twitter, and you'll find out everything I do because I tweet it, and that's how it works. Yeah. Oh, my God, he's crying again. Okay.
I don't hear him. Soon. This is good. This is great. Your microphone's awesome.
Yeah, great mic.
Yeah. He's probably just got a little poo or something. You just got to go, you know.
Oh, he always has something.
Yeah, there's always something down there. Well, anyway, Not Patrick on Twitter, everybody.
And, yes, Not Patrick on Twitter.
Yeah, and friendspin.com for all the shows and all the stuff, so go check that out. Gosh, for me, the one I wanted to make sure I mention this again, I mentioned it last week. If you are not aware that the Frog Pants Network is now running a weekly D&D campaign, then you may want to check it out. Fantasy Heads, people who like that kind of stuff, if you like D&D, then I think you'll like it a lot. It's called There Will Be Dungeons. At therewillbedungeons.com. It airs at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern every Saturday, or most Saturdays, I should say. Actually, we've had 5 in a row, and number 6 is this weekend. So tune in and check it out. We do it live at frogpants.tv, and it's a really good time. Me, John, Kristen, Kyle, and Bo is our DM, rocking it in 5th edition rules D&D campaign and having a great time. It's often funny as well. So do check that out. That's therewillbedungeons.com. For everything else, check us out. Theinstance.net, frogpants.com. I'm at Scott Johnson on Twitter. Not Patrick on Twitter, of course. The_T on Twitter if you're looking for a Terpster. And you can find more great shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Patrick, and for the snowed-in weirdo known as Terpster, we'll see you next time. Oh, that didn't work. We'll see you. Oh, okay. Let me try that again. We'll see you next time.
Bye.